I was studying in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, and chapter 18, which is Speech of Curse by a Brahmin Boar. At 15, Tulayaman Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Vayamanavinapi
Vayamanavinapi
Nasvargam Napunarbhavam
Nasvargam Napunarbhavam
Bhagavatsangi Sangasya
Bhagavatsangi Sangasya
Artyanam Kim Utha Shishaha
Artyanam Kim Utha Shishaha.
Please chant. Yama, to be balanced with, Lavena, by a moment, Api, even, Na, never, Swargam, heavenly planets, Na, nor, Apuna, Bhavam, liberation from matter, Bhagavat Sanghi, devotee of the Lord, Sangasya, of the association, Marjana, those who are meant for death, Kim, what is there, Uta, to speak of, Ashishaha, worldly benediction. Translation purport, the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Report. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka, and those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions, like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Sutta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Manasaranya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Rishi Changi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women, another paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavat Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, fame, qualities, etc. Such association is always desired. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy. And one may accept it as the highest goal of life. Nice verse, nice subject matter about the association. Actually, when I got my first association with devotees, very soon after the words, I started hearing all these profound statements in Krishna consciousness. And one of them really kind of didn't sit real well with me. And it was, I remember it was, I forget if it really read it, or someone said it, that as soon as you're born, you start to die. I thought, wow, that's really depressing. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, we're alive to live, you know? And, I mean, no one wants to die. And so it took me a little while to figure that one out. But it is natural that none of us really want to die, that we really want to live, and that's a good thing. But somehow or other, we've been misplaced. Because here we are in Marchaloka, where everything is dying all around us. We see it every day. You'll find a bug on the floor. We're not real conscious, but I mean, birds are dying. Everything's dying all around us. And here we are, a soul that is eternal. And we're in the wrong place. This is really not our home. So the full understanding, the real understanding, is that we are supposed to be in the spiritual world. But meanwhile, here we are. I live on a farm here, and I have a lot of contact with other creatures of all kinds, from the little ones to the big ones. And I have such realization of what it's like to have the fortune, the opportunity to be in a human form of life. Because all those other creatures out there, they're really suffering. They're so limited in what they can do. Just like these men are here, they're going to start up their engines in a few minutes. They're cutting down these trees. So many limbs of their bodies are being cut down. Diseased limbs that have to go off. But I'm sure it's not pleasant for all those trees. And all the little tiny insects, I see them, all of a sudden, see one sitting there, and all of a sudden something will swoop down and take it away, chomp on. I mean, it's just everywhere around us. And I'm thinking that they don't have any philosophy. They don't get to speak about other things. They don't have any music or art or culture or the ability to inquire, why am I just struggling here? Why am I worried at every moment that something's going to come down and sweep me away? Like these hawks, you know, you hear them, that screeching sound. You know, they're just looking for those little mice, and you see them flying away with snakes dangling out of their mouths all around. It's quite amazing what goes on. And it's just simply a struggle, and they can't do anything about it. They're trapped. And their only thing that they do is figure out, how am I going to eat something? And I always wonder about these cows. I drive by them all the time, and they're all just sitting there for hours and days and years. What do they think about? What's going? How can they sit there so long doing nothing? How boring, you know? I think, what, they just must have like a pea brain or something, you know? I think, but here we're humans, you know, we have such opportunity to use our conscious, higher consciousness, not our lower consciousness, and just worry about how to get better food, a better restaurant, a better sleeping bag, or a fancy therapeutic bed with whatever heating benefits and all this stuff. But there's so much opportunity. We can find out so many other things, especially why the heck we're here and what to do about getting out. So this is that we're just discussing here, how different people, you know, different humans, they're trying to figure out how to change things so it's better for them, because if you're at all anything but a dumb stone, you realize that there is a struggle going on, even for human beings. That's why we had to hire this $10,000 worth of cutting, because if something falls on somebody's house, it's going to be a mess, just like all these people in Kentucky. Whoa. Within, you know, an hour, everything's destroyed. So, such a struggle. So they're trying to figure out how to make things better. And here it's described different ways. You know, the normal person is just trying to put band-aids on things, you know, band-aids on all our bruises. You know, we have this, you know, relationship that's not so good, and this house is not so good. More band-aids, and then there's the hankering of a better situation. This is most people's situation. They're just trying to better the situation right now. It's just prayers. And then there's the other people that are think, well, you know, I must have done something wrong to be here. Maybe I should clean up my act and do something right. So they give pious things, they become goody-goodies and things like that. And then they get to go to a heavenly planet, or a better situation, or next lifetime maybe they'll have a better partner house, or whatever. Maybe they'll be the manager instead of inside. So then there's the people described here where they just say, enough. I just want out of here, you know. I just want escape. You know, quickest door out of here. And so they figure, oh, I'll just merge, or hopefully I'll just, you know, evaporate. I'm just going to disappear. I'm never going to have to come back here again. Never going to have to go through this again. And then there's the fortunate humans that think that I need to really upgrade. I need to transcend and get out of the whole situation that I'm in and revive. Somehow I'll get qualified so I can get a ticket to the spiritual world where I belong. And so they're willing to take a real change in their life. And that's what it requires, a real change to gather our inheritance. We have an inherited right to enjoy topmost with Krishna. All we have to do is to figure out how I can get trained in devotional service, how I can get so trained that I can learn how to really please Krishna, so much so that they'll embrace me and take me back with them. So this is what we must do to really make the human form, like it says here, accept this as the highest goal of life, serving Krishna. But others, their value is different. They have a different value of life, and they just want assets, different things. And here it's describing that these material things that they're addicted to, worthless, pitiful.
Pitiful is and I can remember that an understanding of what a different set of values looks like. Most of us think that, oh yeah, I can
gather so many things. We're trained that way, to get a nice, comfortable situation, whatever it takes. But then, like my parents, they got a phone call from me about 3 weeks after I left home. Mom, I found the absolute truth. I found it. And the heck with its material life, you know. Very exact. I'm giving up everything. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. What? You know? What about your sports? What about golf? What about the country club? What about all the things that I've given you? Everything. What has gone on? What has happened? A complete switch. A complete switch of our lives. And then I thought about it. It was just a matter of a few seconds of association I had. A few minutes of association I had, with not with a pure devotee, but with a devotee of a pure devotee. And, of course, Prabhupada's and the holy name. And just within those few seconds, a complete turnaround, 180-degree turnaround, from a material value to realizing that the greatest asset in human form of life is to give everything up and give it all to Krishna. Yes. So this is unexplainable to the materialists. And I'm sure we all have our stories of how our parents freaked out, how our friends freaked out. What?
What are you doing in Hare Krishna? Anyway.
But this is the miracles. This is the miracles of association with the pure devotees. And Prabhupada was so clever that he arranged to make a society. Immediately, he made a society where he could gather everyone together, let them associate with like-minded people. Yes, we're going back home. We're going to serve Prabhupada. We're going there. And then to give his association in the form of books, to give us prasadam, to stuff us up to the necks with Krishna in that form. And so he was so clever. He was so perfectly arranged to make this Krishna conscious society with that association that Sangha. It was there, and is there, and should continue. Because in this age of Kali, it's very difficult to pull up the anchor of our material attachments. We're really stuck in the mud. We can pull as hard as we want, but Maya's pulling against us. Maya's really thick out there. So we have to realize that the strength of Srila Prabhupada is pulling us out. He just yanked on us, and by that association, we were able to free ourselves. And so therefore, we dedicated to hang on to Prabhupada, hang on to all of our spiritual masters' feet. Because without that association, impossible. And there's a nice description, beautifully expressed by Narottam Das Thakur in bhajan of Rupa Manjari, of glorifying the lotus feet of his spiritual master, of Guru Goswami. And in there he expresses it very nicely. He says that these feet, they are the treasure of my heart. They're my real wealth. They're my ornaments and the life of my life. By the power of those feet, my activities will become favorable to devotion, and spiritual perfection will be achieved. So all this is just available there. It's been given to us as long as we can keep grabbing on and realize that Prabhupada has given us a formula for the greatest prosperity, the greatest wealth. It may be a little difficult to accept this offer, especially for most people. If you get in your car and you head towards Orlando or Tampa, there's some billboards, and there's one that always catches my attention, and that's top of the world, right? They try to capture all those people that are really suffering during the winter, up in Brooklyn and New Jersey and all those places where it's snow is falling and they've been miserable and everything. And they're coming down south and wow, yeah, retirement, top of the world in Orlando or wherever the villages, the top of the world. That's where I want to go. That's where I'm going to give all my assets and just live there. And what do I get? What benedictions do I get? Mini golf. I get to have water aerobics every single day if I want it. I can learn ceramics. I can do bingo. So many wonderful things are there. Zero, 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 zero. Like he was explaining yesterday in class. But Srila Prabhupada puts the one, the real asset of having a Krishna. So this is the training that we need of how to attract Krishna, and we need to take the Bhakti Yoga very seriously. But also in our training, we found out that Prabhupada's all the previous acharyas, what are the trainings to do? They say, give your association, give this association to others, benedict others, help them change their values, and don't take their association. Don't take the materialist association. We've been hearing in Chaitanya Chaitanya and Kenny Patrikaru wanted the association with Prabhupada says, no, too early, so he got convinced. And Prahlad Maharaj, no thanks, Dad. I don't want your kingdom. I don't want any of this. I want Krishna. So this is the perfect combination, giving our association, avoiding the material association. It's described in here in the purport that we don't even want, you know, liberation or these kind of benedictions. But Krishna is so kind that sometimes he'll give us his association, even unexpectedly, and without, even wanting it. I've been reading the story about Agasura. He's a notable demon, right? And what was his whole idea? He just wanted to kill Krishna. He wanted revenge. His friends, his relatives had been killed already by Krishna. He wanted revenge. And he thought, well, Krishna looks pretty tough. Look what he did to everybody else. If I gobble up and take away his friends, he's gonna be miserable. He's just gonna die. And so he arranged, to open that big mouth, big, huge form, 7 miles long, I don't know how big it was, huge. And big mouth open, and he thought, okay, the kids can't resist this, these crazy kids. They can't resist going in there. It looks like a cave, looks like fun, and sure enough, they couldn't resist, even though they thought, this does look a little bit, a little dangerous here, but if we got Krishna, it'll be a lot of fun. It reminds me, I was raised, I had a house right next to a grove in Miami where they had orange trees, and they had actually a packing house. It was so big, mango trees, everything was there. But it was going downhill when we moved there, and the packing house was kind of deserted, but all the stuff was there. And then there was a servant's little teeny wooden house out in way in the grove where they would live. And so we thought, let's sneak around. And so it was our excitement to go out there and look in the house. And at the same time, we were thinking, there was an old man that still lived there. And if we saw him come out, that made it even more exciting. Because then it was like, woo, we got to dodge him and we got to hide under this. And so in the same way, Krishna and the cowboys, Krishna arranged for excitement every day, some kind of excitement. And so he actually could see that Agasura was part of this whole deal. It was like the old man was part of the deal that makes it more exciting. And so he accepted that wow, this is actually, Prabhupada says in the purport, sporting association. Special association that Krishna arranged for Agasura to have sporting association. So he was played a part in this whole thing. And therefore, there's a big whole discussion. Why did he get Swarup Mukti? He was a demon, he was after me and everything. But this is because he got to play this part. And actually, Prabhupada says, for a moment, he had that devotion. This devotion that, yep, I got Krishna, You know, he's going in there to get there from these crazy things. So this is association, a special association. But in the same way, we are in a pastime of Krishna, and we're getting very special association. We're in the Sankirtan pastime, in Gochitan Sankirtan pastime. And I don't know if you've ever like really felt it, but I have many, many times that you'd be out there on Sankirtan and you feel, wow, I'm part of the Sankirtan party. We're going all over the world. We're spreading this Krishna consciousness. We're out there chanting, and other things are happening, like the demons are spitting on us, they're throwing stuff at us, taking us to jail. More exciting, right? This is the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. And it gets more and more exciting. Even last weekend, last Friday, we were on Higher Mountain. And we're chanting, you know, and watching the people go by. There wasn't a whole lot of people, because the students had just finished their exams. And then this one boy comes up, and I kind of figured he looks like one of the you know, homeless type people, because he had his dirty backpack. But he wasn't too dirty. He looked pretty decent. But you could tell he was of that category. And so he comes up, and he looks at the Sankirtan party. And he goes, this looks like fun. And so he puts down his backpack, and JR goes over and is talking to him, and the man kind of pointed to himself like, no smoking, right? And JR goes, that's right. He goes, no intoxication, right? And JR goes, yeah, that's right. And so he goes, here, learn the mantra. So he teaches him the mantra. And so then he's chanting and he starts dancing, you know. And it was respectful dancing. Sometimes they can get pretty gross, you know, kind of embarrassing, hoping with everyone there. But he was pretty respectful. He was dancing, really getting into it, chanting, dancing, and everything. And then somehow or other, we see him holding on chantings. And he's going to the people. Take one. Really nicely. And then he sees someone out, you know, on about two rows over in the cars, going like this, and he runs over, gives him a book, and we're all like, little like, you know, I don't know what he's saying to people, I don't know, you know, what he's doing, but he's enthusiastic, and Jared goes, he's getting purified, leave him alone. And then I saw him talking to someone, I go, oh my God, what is he talking about? But he's going, pointing to where the Krishna house is, you know, I guess tell them to go over there or something. But anyway, it was just ecstatic to see Lord Chaitanya picking up this person, giving him his association on the Sankirtan party. And we see this happen sometimes, that people out there, you just see the prime benediction at large in action. You see Patit Pavan, the most merciful Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they're right here, going out there and giving their mercy, their association. And this is, you feel glory. This is glorious, it's worshipful, it's desirable, everything is wonderful. Having association in Krishna consciousness. And we're so fortunate that we can have it, you know, 24 hours a day if we want. And so this is also in St. Augustine. I was with my sister, took a little break in association with my sister, trying to give my association in different ways. Have to be real creative. But we went down to St. Augustine, and we're walking along, and I see somebody in front of me going, holding some neck of devotion, and it looks like this. And I see him approaching. I go to my sister. I go, he's a devotee. He goes, how do you know he's a devotee? You could spot him right away. And then we kind of watched, and just walking up to people, and I was thinking, this is so nice to see this happening. You know, that he was. I think from the Krishna house, I went over and. And when he was talking to someone, I said, yeah, these are really good books you just did. But it's so wonderful to see Lord Chaitanya's immersion in action in all of the world that's happening. So then I was thinking also that this is very similar to something that's very popular these days. It's called grounding. Has anyone heard of grounding? Or earthing? It's the same thing. It's where people that live in cement city, and in the material world, they're always on computers, they never take off their shoes, they never get out in nature, and they have problems, they have, you know, different issues. And so it, grounding is where you actually take off your shoes, and there's actually energy in Mother Earth. Krishna says that, you know, he made the country, and you all made that city, but I made the country. And Mother, it, the Mother is, it's full of Shakti. She's full of Shakti. And it actually can go in and help with your cells and everything like that. It's a natural therapeutic type thing. And it's very popular now. People, even, you know, business people, they take off their shoes and they go on the beach, or they lay out in the sun. Or they, have you ever like laid out in the sun or on a rock and experienced the sun? Well, even the Ayurvedically said that the sun's energy, if you get it in the morning, it gives you great power. It's very healing. And also the moon is also described in the Vedic, in Ayurveda, that it the moon, especially a full moon, releases your mind, gives you some relief. So this is association on a material platform that can actually do wonderful things for you. But think of spiritually, that's Krishna's external energy. But think of the internal energy that we get by direct contact through the holy name. Direct contact through reading Prabhupada's book, by, like here, the rishis of Naima Sharana, they're getting to hear it directly from a pure devotee. Or getting to kneel on the altar and to touch Radha Shyam and to put Krishna Balaram's garlands on and crowns on. You're so close. Except, you know, to be in the kitchen and know that you're doing that, Krishna's going to eat this. I really have to be conscious, you know, of cleanliness. Radharani right here in this kitchen watching. So this is such advantages to being in this process of devotional service. And when you were reaping such prosperity, like it says here, now and in the future, we're getting the best of both worlds right now if we take it up. And we get super perks, you know, if we really, really dive into it and give up the worldly desires for all these other things. That's a problem with devotional service, is that it does. It takes away those material desires. I know that when I was young, I'm sure we all had some vision of what we were going to be like when we grew up. My greatest desire was I was going to sail the Aegean Sea and just live on islands and look at the beautiful fish in the water and have romance and, you know, that was my vision. Forget that. And if you offered it to me today, I don't think I'd get very excited about it. I really don't. I don't think I would. Even if you gave it to me on a golden platter, gave me all the money and made all the rings, no thanks. Not too excited. But if someone came and said, you can't associate with devotees, you can't read Prabhupada's books, you can't do devotional service, I would get pretty excited. I would get pretty ballistic that someone would take this away, take this wonderful thing away. So this is the danger of devotional service, is that it will take away your material desires. But the greatest thing is that we can now use those desires. They change the spiritual, that I can do so many things to please Krishna. And really inherit on back that position of being an eternal servant in the spiritual world. So this is a little bit of what I thought about when I read this wonderful purport. So we're fortunate. We're also sitting in the holy place and getting to hear this discussion of how to perfect our lives. So does anyone have any hands? Say your questions. Or addition. Experiences. If not, we'll go about our service to Sri Prabhupada. Do it as enthusiastically as we can and with as much devotion as we can. Prabhupada Gita.